Heavenly Father, we thank you for the incredible privilege to be together today, that you've called us together in your name. What a privilege, Lord. And we've had this privilege of being able to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, as we come to share the testimony of Jesus today, Lord, may you be glorified. May we all be stirred for what you are doing, not only here in this locality, but in the nations of the earth. That, Lord, that we can see you are the one that needs to be glorified, and we need to proclaim your salvation and the good work that you've completed on the cross. So, Lord, will you bless us? Holy Spirit, will you use us today to magnify our God? May there just be an outworking of everything that you've planned here today in Jesus' name. Amen. I just sense while we were worshiping, someone's been asking the Lord, there's something missing in my life. And Lord, tell me what's missing. And I just sense the answer is worship. You've looked at your life and you seem to have all the things together and you seem to be doing all the right things, but you're lacking in worship. And I don't know who that is. I think it's all of us personally. I think we get so caught up with the world and the things that we are doing and living life. And we're trying to improve ourselves and to move on in life. But we got to stop and worship God. We are called to worship Him, and I want to encourage you this morning to take time in your daily lives to worship God. In your devotions in the morning, during the day, turn to Jesus and worship Him. Because, you know, otherwise your eyes get distracted and you start to focus on other things and, you know, God becomes dim. He's there always. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He becomes dim. So let's get back to the pattern of worship and allow God to reveal His truth to us. Before we proceed in a report back, we're in a great season. Things are changing, things are moving, and God is moving with our sound here. We've had some, from the beginning, we were given a sound desk when we planted the church 13 years ago. And then we also got a gift of another big desk that we had. And it's an analog desk. And with all the power failures up and down here, that thing blew. So we're back to the original sound desk. So we, as the worship team, and have decided is that we need another electronic sound desk. And that's going to cost 30,000 rand. And the worship team have come up already, and they've put their money in already to say this is what it is, and they've contributed to already. But I'm asking you, not out of compulsion, we in this together, we need to worship God in this thing. If you would like to contribute towards that, all I can ask is, will you make an EFT, or we might even take an offering up next week, is that come and just put it on the EFT, just earmark it sound. It's 30,000. It's actually, last year it was 45,000 rand. We've got a good discount already on it. So go and ask the Lord. You don't have to do anything. But if God stirs your heart and you would like to contribute towards that, please, we would love you to make contributions into that. So I'm going to give a report back. We've been away for approximately 10 days into the Great Lakes region. This is the Great Lakes region over there. You've got Lake Victoria, Lake Tanganyika, Lake Kivu, Lake Albert up there. And this is the region that we've been working to in, well, I've been working since 2007. And what has transpired over the last while, I've been working with Manny Pereira. You know, Manny and Dawn were here in February. And suddenly, the Lord took Manny home. And on the 20th of May, he passed away to be with our Lord. And I have been given the responsibility to have oversight of working with the teams, of working with those wonderful people into the Great Lakes. So it was planned this time that we would go into that region, and 27 people from South Africa, from three relating churches, from our church, from Cosmos City Church, and the Crossing Church here in Johannesburg, and from folk from Zimbabwe, from Harare and Mutare, went into that context. There were 27 of us, and we went into 9 locations across four countries. In the DRC, we went to the southern part, just across from Burundi, across the lake there, in a place called Uvira. Tabiso and Didi went into that. And then in Burundi, we went into a place called Gitega, and a place called Ngozi, up towards the Rwandan border. And then we also ministered in the local churches. And then in Rwanda, we ministered into Kigali, into the capital, and then to a town called Butari, close to the Burundi border, and then into the very close to the Ugandan border, a place called Nagatari, and then to a place Kanyonzo. And then other folk went in just north of Dar es Salaam, next to Zanzibar, a place called Bagamoyo, and the people ministered into that context. And we went and ministered into the local churches, and we ministered with a conference, or what do you call a training time, where we met with the people for 3 days, and they ministered into those contexts. Not only did 27 come from our region into that context, but the local people also, the local pastors also ministered into that context. So it was such an expression of Jesus. And before we went, and we had a kickoff meeting in Kigali, and the Lord really spoke to me and said to me, make sure that people preach the message. You must be born again, you need to be filled with the Spirit, and you need to be speaking in tongues. And I bring that message to you here today. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that's an absolute imperative. You don't enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And I need to ask you today, are you sure you are born again? You have got to be able to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and there's got to be this, not transformation, renewal, new creation, that you know that Christ lives in you, the hope of glory lives inside of you. And then Jesus, he said to his disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you endured with power from on high. The Lord himself said to his disciples that walked with him for 3 years, do not go and do anything that I've called you to unless you have the power of God. And Christians, we cannot, brothers and sisters, we cannot operate in anything less than having God's power with us. And that is for every one of us. But it's not a must. It's something that we must believe. God calls us to do that. And we see on the day of Pentecost how the Spirit of God was actually poured out upon on the believers. And look how God used them when there was an evidence of the empowering of God the Holy Spirit. How Jesus was preached. The resurrected Christ was preached. The world was turned upside down. And the evidence, and I believe it's not always necessary, it happens immediately, but the evidence of speaking in tongues is a key aspect. You know, many years ago it became such a hot topic in the life of the church, and it just seems to have faded away. And we don't put a lot of emphasis on it anymore. But I'm just sensing the Spirit of God putting his hand upon that thing. We need to be speaking in tongues. This is not the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians 12, the diverse tongues. This is speaking in tongues. And it's for us. I want to just say it's an imperative in our prayer lives. Not so much the public meeting, but in our prayer lives, we do not know how to pray. God doesn't expect us to know how to pray, but the Spirit of God within us knows how to pray. But we need to exercise speaking in tongues. And I want to just say is that I've spoken to the elders, and we're going to do things a bit different in our prayer meetings, not so much the public meeting. We're going to start praying more and more in tongues, and I want to encourage you in your prayer life to pray more in tongues. Start, instead of just relying on your noggin, rely on the Spirit of God within you, and begin to express that. You know, I've been working this some time now, and you know, there's been dimensions. The Spirit of God just works together. We remember we're in partnership. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And as we work together with Him, He just wonderfully likes to work with us. And you're going to see work environments, family environments, difficult situations. You're going to start to see breakthrough in this thing. I believe it's not something that's an add-on to put onto the mantelpiece. Now, I trust you're born again. I'm trusting that you've all been filled with the Spirit of God and speaking in tongues. But if you're not, please afterwards, we would love to pray with you if you have a desire for that and to see God work in your life in this new dimension of what the disciples walked in, the power of the Holy Spirit. Come to the front. We want to pray for you for that. I want to tell you my personal testimony. I was born again miraculously. It was wonderful. The presence of God was so there and tangible. But my life only changed in serving Jesus when the Spirit of God came and touched me with His power. And the evidence of speaking in tongues. It was only there as a young man, my life exploded. And God wants to bring explosion to all of our lives. Amen. Sorry, Robbie, I've lost your... I'll get there now. Thank you. So I really encourage you to get filled with the Spirit. So there's the Great Lakes again. Just you see how that whole area that we've been working to, wonderful area, wonderful people to work with. So we started off with a kickoff meeting in Kigali, and the team all gathered there. We worshiped God, and we had a meal together. Just wonderful, the aspect of team. God doesn't work with lone rangers. He works together with team, and that's why he puts us in the body of Christ. Each has a different role to fulfill, and as the team works under the direction of the Lord himself by his Holy Spirit, there's an incredible outworking of the kingdom of God. There's Brad who leads up the Crossing Church, was also encouraging us in how we what we needed to do in our different locations. And there's good old Vincent. And Vincent is not with us today, they are away. But he joined us, that was in Bujumbura. We were about to have some lunch. And there's a new little place. Every time I go to Bujumbura, Stanley has built something else. And he has built a lean-to. That is their children's church. A lean-to. The kids are, again, so crowded inside there. They were meeting in the kitchen. And eventually they decided to go and build this. You know what? They don't own this property. But they've just poured all their money into this thing, and they're not worried about ownership. They're just continuing, and they believe in God to provide for them. I don't know if this is... Anyway, I'm not going to go there with the thing. These are the youngsters. They can do hip-hop too, eh? They can dance in the way Robbie and Lisa were doing last night. they got the moves there. Wonderful to see these people, what they're doing. Now, that there... is the new presidential palace in Burundi, being built by the Chinese. And a monster. Poverty, but then opulence. I'm not saying anything. Here we're going up the pass out of Bujumbura into a place called Bugarama. As you get top, it's nearly 2,000 meters above sea level there. You go from hot, hot Bujumbura, you go up there, and it's cool up there. At that point there, you get strawberries. It's so cold up that part of the thing. Going out of Buga, we went to different ways. We went up to Ngozi. This is the road going along. First time I've seen, this is the dry season there. End of the dry season, it's the time of harvesting. They're harvesting wheat. And there they're sitting with their sticks. And they're on the threshing and threshing the wheat. And then pounding it to make into wheat flour. The African acacia tree. And they're the wheat fields, ripe to harvest. It's like ripe to harvest for people to come to know the Lord. My goodness, these youngsters on a bicycle. My nerves when I see them ride like that. They don't cycle up the hill. They hold on to a truck behind the again up the hill. And they actually don't sit on the bicycle. They put themselves like pinion on the side, and they're steering and they're holding. And if something happens, they can move out. It's they're so skilled in going up. Some have been killed in that process. It's dangerous, but that's their living. You know, they go from the farms, and then they come down into Bujumbura with all the bananas and the charcoal and that, and then they've got to get up the hill again. So they do that daily ride. It's only the young men that do that. I don't know how that got there. So that's some of the little towns that you go through. Where is that, Claude? Kayonza, is it? That's where Claude's dad is from. I think Claude was also from there, eh? That's his hometown. There's the little shops on the side of the road, doing their little businesses, all entrepreneuring. This is the hotel we stayed in Ngozi. It was quite comfortable. And there we're having a coca. They call it a coca and a citron. Citron is lemon in French. And it's a lovely, lovely cool drink. Fanta Citron. Whenever you're up in that region, it's a lovely thing. This is... Moses is Stanley's son, and that's Claude. He's the deacon in the life of the church that traveled with us to Ngozi. Wonderful, wonderful men of God. That's their soap that they use. They don't have Lux or Palmolive or whatever that you have, your Dove. That's the soap that they use. And when they go and minister to the people in the poorer regions, what they take with them is soap. They give the people soap. They can't afford soap. And because I was saying to Moses, I said, but gee, these people are dirty. He says, no, they're not dirty. They just don't have soap to clean themselves properly. So that's the state of poverty. Burundi's a poor country. There's the market, wonderful. The different rices, I've never seen so many different types of potatoes that they've got there. They've got the red ones, they've got the Irish potatoes, all the different potatoes. Very rich in agricultural products. The pineapple, my goodness, you cannot believe. You know, the pineapple we eat here is a bit sour and it's like acidic. You eat there, it's a dessert. It's beautiful. The juices just pour out. There was a gentleman there, he had all the rice and all the beans, and I wanted to take a photo of him, and he said, no, you're not allowed to take a photo. Anyway, that's the sugar cane, big sugar cane, like we get the little sticks. The sugar cane, it really grows wonderful, and that's their sweets. They will break it off, and you'll see them walking down the road chewing sugar cane. Now, this is the dominoes that they play there. And Claude, we were walking around the one afternoon after we ministered, and Claude started to play with this gentleman there. He was a Muslim, and I thought, this is a great opportunity. But how can we share Jesus with him? But how are we going to? So we started to play dominoes with him. So Claude lost, and it was a great opportunity to share Jesus with him. And this Muslim, you know, I want to just say, the Muslims are really focused on God, but their doctrine actually teaches them to speak against Jesus. I said, no, Jesus is alive. He said, no, Jesus is dead. I said, Jesus loves you. Yeah, he couldn't refute that. But he says, Jesus is a prophet. He's dead and he was never born of a Virgin Mary. And you see, they just try and discredit Jesus at every single level. So I said, Lord, how do I minister to this guy? And I just sensed the Lord saying to me, just tell him that I love him. And I just told him three times, sir, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And I added on, he said, he is alive. He's not in the grave. And, you know, they can't refute that. But I just said to him, you know, we don't want to pick an argument with you, but we want to just share the love of God with you. Now, this was another lady, Claire, in the marketplace. We went to a bit of shopping for Claude. Is the possibilities of Mark getting married? And I said, the Lord just stirred me. He said, you need to buy your fiance some gift. So we went around looking for a necklace. And we got a necklace for his fiance. So that's downtown Ngozi. That's the bike shop, Ivan. That's where they fix all the bicycle, the motorbikes. It's all just, all the mechanics are there laden with oil. And that's looking down the valley in Ngozi. That's where the president has a lot of residence. But that whole valley is just so fertile and so productive. We started the equip time at the Church on the Rock. A guy named Emil. And a wonderful, wonderful church. We had almost 200 leaders there. We preached over 2 days. You plan these things to go there to preach over three days, but you get there, then it's a public holiday. So we don't always know these things, but God always works the things out for good. So Vincent did a great job in preaching. He really shared some wonderful truths. And also, you know, when we go there, we don't go empty-handed. We go there to help. And we provide food for the folk. Not that it's an attraction. It's just something because the people are poor. You know, we go there. And what we do at every one of those GETs or geographical equip times, we provide $1,000 amongst the three churches. So there's an investment into the nations. And we feed them at lunchtime. But, you know, wonderful. These people are mature. These are from all the relating churches in that area, the pastors and the deacons, and were so receptive to the Holy Spirit. And there's the lines where they're giving out the food. You don't know that, you know, they're wonderful people, but the plate goes like that with food. And, you know, we almost go like that, and then we've eaten too much, but theirs goes mountain high. And I rejoice that God can feed them. And the food just seems to come. Miracles. Food just comes and comes and comes. And, oh, it's amazing that they all get fed and just so wonderful. It's looking inside the church. It's a big church. And the roads there are cobblestones. Just one of the things we were preaching on Jesus and preaching on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And one of the aspects of being led by the Holy Spirit is actually to lead prophecy. So I raised the question, I said to them, how many of you work with the gift of prophecy? And out of 200 leaders, there were like five hands. Oh, and the Lord just put in my heart and said, pray for them for the gift of prophecy. And then I said, who would like the gift of prophecy? Yeah, a majority of them stood up. And we prayed for the release also for the gift of prophecy and the speaking of tongues. And we prayed. And God just came down in a wonderful way. And then we said, okay, let's get testimony. Let's see these things actually working in your life. And I'll tell you now, immediately, when God deposits something, it's immediately there. You don't have to doubt that thing. And a lady got up and she started to prophesy. My goodness. She might have been prophesying for years because the depth that came out immediately. Immediately. So this thing, when God does something, he does it complete. When you're born again, Christ comes in all his fullness inside of you. You don't have to doubt that thing at all. And then also the guys came with gifts. Claude was there. He's been in the church for many years. He came to the front and he just came and he said, and I said, tell the people. And immediately God had released his tongue. And he started to speak. He'd been many years a Christian and started to speak in tongues. So we must believe God's in control in these things so wonderfully. Okay. There's Stanley preaching. Stanley's our wonderful friend in Bujumbura. And then we went for a walk with Moses around the wonderful Ngozi, a lovely little town. Look at the whitey and the black face. Look at whitey's teeth are. You can't say, I can see better here. That's downtown Ngozi. It's the third biggest town in Burundi. And there we're back and we're worshiping again. And that's Claude and that's René Michel, who our interpreter, a wonderful, wonderful. You know, the Spirit of God is not limited to Muzungu, which is white man. This man, René, he was actually just sharing with me how God, the Holy Spirit, is actually he's a qualified, got a degree out of the University of Bujumbura, and how he's just gone and planted a church there in Ngozi. But how God revealed Christ to him, just a simple fact. He said, the Lord revealed to me, he said, Christ is our life. And Christ lives in us, and Christ must live through us. I said, René, God has shared something with you that many Muzungus do not know. Eh? They know church, but they don't know Christ. And I said, you just keep on with that revelation of the Holy Spirit. Amazing. God is not a respecter of persons. That's the church again. We're gathering on the next day. This is driving back to Bujumbura, some of the housing that the folk live with. A lot of the roofs were of clay. Tiles, but they're moving towards more zinc. And that's Food Lovers Market on the Bujumbura. They got running streams that come out of the mountain onto the fresh produce, so the carrots and the lettuce and the leeks there, wonderful, and you run past there and you negotiate. You never accept the price. You always negotiate, and they're always crying that you're robbing me, but they seem to negotiate, and they always seem to win. Hey, Claude, that's the beautiful view. It's such a mountainous, hilly place, but absolutely beautiful. And then coming down the pass, two trucks have got stuck, and there's no verge. And they're not so law-abiding when it comes to stick to your lane. I think they've got trained by our taxi drivers. So and they never, there's only one lane up and one lane down. And then they decided, they're not going to stick behind and wait. And they came into three lanes up and two lanes down. And what was the result? Gridlock. We couldn't move. We sat there, we couldn't move. Eventually, Claude got out of the vehicle. We started to push vehicles backwards and forwards, and we can go a little bit. I think it took us an hour and a bit to get just 1 kilometer to get out. And we were praying, Lord, thank you for helping us. That was the gridlock. There we're back in Bujumbura and with the teams, Tabiso and Didi and Tony and Hilton from, they were in Gitega. Also had great testimonies. So we took a rest day, went down to the Lake Tanganyika, and in Lake Tanganyika, there's a hippo right there where we were walking next to the shore. They're quite accustomed to humans, but there were two of them running around there right next to the shore. And that we had a bit of a rest day at the beach. And I promise you, I've been many times to Bujumbura, and you don't normally find decent coffee there. here's a Belgian coffee shop, confectionery, here in the middle of Bujumbura. I cannot tell you that I ate a Danish pastry that I've never tasted like anywhere in all the world. Yeah, made in Bujumbura, that's broken, where you normally just eat maize and beans. Yeah, they had this guy been trained in Belgium, and he came and started a little business there and doing so well. And that's Hilton, part of the team. There's also Crossing, Tony, also a blessing, and then our good old faithful Vincent. Those are my feet, the good news of the gospel. Eh? And that's the team that's in Batari, the folk from Cosmo City Church. They went there, they took a whole bunch of them. There were five or six of them and went there and ministered into that local church there. Wonderful. They didn't just go and minister into the local church. They went and did crusades. They went and visited the hospitals and really touched. Now, these are the folk out of Zimbabwe and John Lividos. And these guys, Quinton and Veer and Paul Mitchell from Harare, they ministered in Kigali at the local church there. And that was at the local church. They were ministering to the leaders there. As I say, I've just given you one location. There were many locations that were taking place. That's in Nagatari. The reason why you see that the government has got strict legislation out now that the churches have to have parking and toilets and soundproofing, so now they can't meet in their churches, so they're meeting outside. That was the team. That man, Anatas, he's a wonderful, he's in his 80s, and the only English he knows is, Jesus is King. I love you. And just a testimony of the Lord and his faithfulness, you know, that's his son, that's Gary Betts, and Richard Little, Vincent's brother, son-in-law, was in that context. That was at Kanyonza in Rwanda, Brad and his team that was there. Just want to just say is that we had a lot of opposition on the trip. You know, before I went, I had pneumonia, you know, before I left, and it was like touch and go whether I would go. And then when we got there, there were a myriad of little things, wrong bookings, wrong things going wrong. But the one day when we were leaving Bujumbura, we had to go to our different locations. We went at the hotel, we put our bags at the bottom, and some guys left early, and it seems someone took Tabiso's bag and took it with. So we got to the rendezvous area, and their bag was missing. So we found it everywhere. So eventually we just started to pray, and we took authority over the thing. And then 20 minutes later, it just popped out somewhere. Don't know where it came from, but they found the bag, and we were able to go. And then Brad was in Kanyonza, and that's what I say, he got sick, and what are they called? Kidney stones. He's got kidney stones in the middle of nowhere, and so the teams had to step in, and he had to be in bed for 3 days. So that was the team that actually went. So from the different regions, I didn't mention Gaseni, also up on the north near Goma, near the volcano up there on Lake Kivu. Some of the local guys, Stephen, an interpreter, wonderful men of God. Guys from, just, you've got to be there to experience all the dimension of finding out things and doing things together. And here's Richard Koch, first time into the region, young Christian, knows the Lord, 2 years, got into the region, just fallen in love with Jesus and preaching the gospel, meeting out to the children there. He loves soccer, so he got the kids playing soccer. He has a woman just got touched by the Lord, crying in that context. Now, who is that? That's Claude's father and brother. Claude. And I had the privilege of meeting him, and what a humble man. And that's Claude's brother. And they send greetings to you, and they say thank you, all that you're doing for Claude. You know, Claude's a brother. He's in our family, and I was humbled. He said, you there, you caring for my son. That's not in me, it's the church. And we're loving him and bringing him through. So thank God for his grace. And there we together, just spending some time together. And then I ministered in Metusela's church. You know, the ministry as you go in there, when we went in there many years ago, not that we know everything, we don't, but the order of service was very different. The choirs would come in, and then the choirs would come in from the children to the old ladies to all the different, the young people, and it will take up like 3 hours. And then you'll give them half an hour to preach. And we were saying, guys, that's fine when you're doing it in your time, but when we come to share the word and to share the life of God with you, we need to. And they've heard us. So all the number of years, I said to Metuselah and his wife, Jane, I said, you guys have really matured. They've come, they've focused, they come and they worship God. They've got worship teams now. They dance before the Lord, and they give time for announcements, and then they allow the preaching of the word and ministry by the Holy Spirit. So not that we come there to change them, but just, you know, something as we, there's drip irrigation as we share our lives with one another. That was the church, also a miracle that they got in there. Hopefully we can see this now. They dance before the Lord. And then we went to, Metuselah's daughter sang. That's Zulu, and they don't speak Zulu. The Father dance. I want to just say, we must never lose the heart of Africa. You go to Europe and it gets cold, civilized, and we get all into Western culture. There's a heart in Africa we must never lose. Just spontaneously came and said, I want to sing a song. And just how people started to worship the Lord in that. There's the team that we was leaving Bujumbura. We're heading off to the airport. And never, you know, can I just say something? Never be ashamed of your home. Doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't have to be pristine. And Metuselah, we hadn't been there all the years. We had never been to his home. But when he opened up his home and we went there, it was something that broke over them as a family. And I want to say, your home, don't make it your palace. Make it a place that you share with others. Let them come into your home. Be hospitable. The gift of hospitality is for the church. And people are drawn. You know, I know things are more expensive, but you don't have to have fancy meals also. Just have people around to fellowship. Open your home. The kingdom is about hospitality. And this was the feedback. We got back to Kigali, and the teams all gathered on the Monday, and we had feedback from all the different regions. And this is the team from Butare was sharing what was taking place there, giving glory to God. The guys that were in Kayonza, in Rwanda, the guys in Nagatari, the guys in Gisenyi. Brad was just sharing, preaching Jesus, how it changed people's lives. Tabiso and Didi, I want to just share, in Uvira, very tough. The DRC is a country that is broken, and a lot of demonic oppression. The nation has been handed over to Satan indirectly, and that's why it's so broken. And the church is also under oppression. The pastors are so discouraged. So, and Tabiso said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" He said, the Lord said, "Just go and encourage these pastors." And there was a pastor that came out from about 3 days' journey down the lake. He came up, he says, "I was coming to meet with my friends, and I was just going to give up being a pastor forever." And God came and encouraged him, and he got strength again to go forward. So yeah, we all need encouragement, and sometimes the Lord, that's all he does, he encourages us. And Vincent shared with us what happened in Gauzy, and that was the final photo of all the folk. Amen. I just want to just share quickly what came out of that. There was just some of the testimonies that came out. In Bagamoyo, while they were preaching there, a lady was delivered of several demons and set free and immediately started worshiping God. But in that process, the demons before that spoke through her and in their local language and was interpreted. And the demons were saying, "Who do you think you are bringing unity to the city? You cannot bring unity. Where do you come from?" So the devil is working through even people in the life of the church. Don't think the demonic's not real. It's very real. And the attacks are very real. And don't think you cannot be oppressed. You can. And you need to be able to take authority. And that's where Jesus comes to set us free. Set us free. Free from this world and free from the authority of darkness. And we all get twisted through the outworking of darkness. And I wanted to say, be on your guard. In Ephesians 6, it says, when the day of evil comes, take your stand. Take your stand and then come against the enemy. Don't just live in a one-dimensional life that, well, it's all about God is good and he loves us. We are at war. And even in your workplaces, you know, don't always see things from a natural perspective. You know, doors might close, but it might be the devil trying to close those things. And you got to fight for this thing. And you got to work together with the Holy Spirit to release that. But just quickly, I really just sense to minister to you today. Stanley shared this message, and I was just taken back, and I really believe it's for us here today. In Ecclesiastes 1 verse 15, it's Solomon writing in a despondent state. He said, "What is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted." What is twisted cannot be straightened. Solomon, at the end of his life, yes, God gave him a lot of wisdom, and he had a lot of wives and all those things, but he was a despondent man, and he was living in the flesh, and he wrote this thing, and he said, "What is twisted can never be straightened." And that's not God. That's not God's ability. In Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17, I want to read that. This is the account of Jesus. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there and who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days and not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox and donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, and be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. And I just sense the Lord just wanting to minister to us today. Here the Lord was preaching, and when he looked down, he saw this woman had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years, and she was bent over and couldn't straighten up. And when Jesus said it, he wanted to set her free from this infirmity, and he put his hands on her, and immediately she was straightened up and praised God. And I want to just say, You might be here today and you've got a twisted life and you're broken and you've got in your heart, you haven't even got the ability and even the faith in your heart to make it straight. But I want to tell you, Jesus is here today. He saw this woman bent over and crippled. It was an infirmity of 18 years. 18 years. And Jesus had compassion on her. She was bent over. She couldn't walk straight. And the Lord saw her. And he came and he set her free, put his hands on it. And it says here, immediately she was straightened up and praised God. Now I want to say our Lord Jesus is a master at straightening people's lives. He's a master. He can take any broken situation and he can bring healing. And what amazed me about this, Jesus saw her. And then he called it to her. He had compassion on her. Now, I don't know if you are here today and you've been walking a road and your life is not in order. It's twisted, but you want it straight. And I'm telling you, the only person that can actually make it straight is God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you find yourself in that position today, and this is not about doing the right things, come to Jesus. And He's the one that wants to bring healing. He wants to set you free if there's an oppressive spirit upon your life. If there are things in your life that are broken, He wants to bring healing. But there's another scripture that I want to add to this. It's from Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. When you introduce to Jesus, the Lord doesn't just expect you just to be an okay, come. There's this aspect that came out of the prophetic here this morning. In verse 19, it says, repent, then turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, that He may send Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. You see, so refreshing will come from the Lord, but what we got to do firstly, repent. That's to acknowledge that we have erred, to acknowledge that sin has got in the way in our relationship with God. Not saying you're not born again, but sin gets in the way and blocks the outworking of God. Then turn to God, to humble yourself before Him, to look to Him and allow Him to come and reveal Himself to you. And then God comes and wipes away your sin. That's an incredible, you know, we discount that thing. We don't look to that. We look to God to meet with Him. But we don't acknowledge this aspect of sin, that God has taken our sin away and taken away the guilt. He's atoned for it, and He washes us of that guilt, that we can walk in this freedom and we can walk in this refreshing, that the Lord can bring this wonderful, like that picture of the food lover's market on the side of the road there, the water was dripping over the vegetables and it was a freshness. I really believe that what God wants to bring to us today. So I want every head bowed, please. And you've seen a testimony of what God has been doing in the nations, but I believe God wants to minister to you today. And if that's you today, God wants to take what is twisted and make straight. Now, I don't believe we have to come to the front. If you want to, we can do that. But I just really do believe is that you acknowledge where you are. And you acknowledge, and don't be frightened to say, Lord, I've messed up. Well, this is going on. Be in a place where you're vulnerable to Him and allow Him to come and be Lord and come and set you free. I think that Christ came to set us free from the world and what the enemy would try and do. And if that's you here today, will you respond to Jesus in your heart? Will you respond to Him and say, Lord, this is where I am? And will you come and make my life straight? It might not be an immediate thing that will work out, but you hand over the reins to Him again. And don't try and work it out in your own strength and your own ability, but allow Jesus, the Lord God Almighty, to come and straighten your life. So I'm going to give you time just to work with the Lord Himself as you respond to Him, as your eyes are closed and you're responding to Him. It might be a marriage, it might be a business, It might be a child. It might be relationships with family. I don't know what it is. It might be a financial burden. I don't know what it is. But you know what it is. Things that are not straight. And God wants to straighten that out. And then once you've responded to Him, I'm going to pray a prayer for you. And I'm going to trust God to release you and take you into this times of refreshing that comes from your Christ, your Messiah, that you can follow Him and do all that He's called us to do. So as we just give you a moment and God a moment to actually minister to you, will you respond to your loving God who's so merciful and gracious? Thank you, Lord. Father, you see our hearts. You know us inside out. You know the depths of who we are. You know the very hairs on our head. You love us. You provided for salvation through your Son. And even today, Lord, you want the outworking of your salvation to your wonderful people. And Lord, as people here today, your children have responded to you and have humbled themselves before you, Lord, I ask for a release in their lives where freedom needs to come by the power of your name and the authority of your presence. I just release God's presence over you now. I break the authority of any stronghold. I break the authority of the outworking of darkness. I break the authority of wrong decision making. I break the authority of guilt and shame. I break the authority of anything that will hold you back, even wrong thinking. I break that authority over you now in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we just commit every one of those situations into your care, I pray for repentant hearts, turning to you, seeking you with all their hearts, finding you and your righteousness, and following after you. So Lord, will you work your mercy here? Will you be merciful to every one of us, Lord, that we can find your grace, the sufficiency of your grace? You make crooked things straight. And we give you all the praise, Lord. We give you all the praise. And we wait for the testimonies that are going to come, Lord, because of what you do now. Healing hearts, healing situations, providing in every single way. We thank you in Jesus' name. We release that anointing of you, Holy Spirit, upon everyone now. And we thank you for the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That scripture from Proverbs comes to me, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord and lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your paths straight. Straight. Not crooked, straight. And Lord, I want to trust you that for every single one of us. We had broken at times, but you make us straight and make our paths straight. And we thank you for that now. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We exalt you. Thank you for your goodness and your grace towards us. Thank you, Lord. Just for someone, I just sense that God's wisdom is that sometimes when you look at your life and you think you're going through difficult times, but John chapter 15 says the Father is the gardener and He prunes that there be more fruitfulness. So don't always estimate everything is the, of difficulty is negative, but actually prunes that there be more fruitfulness. I just sense God just trying to encourage us just to see things from His eyes. He's wanting us all to grow, and we all sometimes need to go through pruning seasons that God can bring the fruitfulness of the Spirit in our lives. Thank you, Lord. And there's someone here today that you're really battling with condemnation, and that's also part of the snare that the devil has come. That's bondage, a spirit of condemnation. As much as we can get a spirit of fear, but a spirit of condemnation will destroy you. Romans 8:1 says, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Walk in the freedom of no condemnation. Your sin has been paid for. The price has been paid. The enemy has no authority to accuse you individually or before the Father. The blood of Jesus has canceled every outworking of darkness and sin in your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then just deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus. Deny yourself, put the flesh down, take up your cross, remember what was accomplished on the cross for you, that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. And the life that you live by faith in the Son of God, and then follow Jesus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. God loves you. God loves you, and we love you too. God bless you all. May you be encouraged today. Those that want to be filled with the Spirit of God and speaking in tongues, come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. Please don't rush off. Come and have a cup of tea and coffee with us. And especially those that are visitors amongst us, you're more than welcome to come and have a cappuccino, free cappuccino. God bless you all. Thank you very much.